Greenside, the IGA podcast.
Also, Mike McCoy, the 2013 U.S.
Zach Johnson, now a two-time major champion after becoming the winner of the 144th Open Championship.
Welcome to Greenside, the IGA podcast. Clint Brown here with you today. I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with Matt Walker of Ottumwa, recent winner of the Wells Fargo Nebraska Open, shooting rounds of 61. Whoa! 64-70, good for an 18-under total and a three-shot win over Brandon Crick. I hope you enjoy the interview.
All right, here with Matthew Walker, winner of the recent Wells Fargo Nebraska Open earlier this month. Matt, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Before we dig into your recent success, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Went to the University of Iowa, graduated in 2019, won the Iowa Open in 2019 in August, and then recently the Nebraska Open, and well, I guess a week ago now. So
you grew up in Ottumwa, is that correct?
Grew up in Ottumwa, yeah. Went to Ottumwa High School, won two state championships, class 4A, lost in a playoff my junior year, so could have been three, but ended up with two.
That's the way golf goes sometime, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, as a lot of people know, that you've played in a lot of our tournaments, so they've probably seen your name if they haven't met you before. So we know each other, and we've been in, you know, keeping an eye on what you've been doing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, since you graduated from Iowa, kind of what's been going on in your world?
So when I graduated from Iowa, I played one more amateur event, the Susquehanna, and then I decided to turn pro in July. Played the Iowa Swing, which the Waterloo, Cedar Rapids, and then Iowa Open. Was fortunate enough to win the Iowa Open. Did Corn Ferry Q School 2019. Just missed out second stage by a couple shots. Then got Canada status in 2020. Then of course COVID hit, so that changed that. Played a couple events this year on the Foreign Tour now, which is like our version of the Canadian Tour, and then just kind of been playing around, played a couple a Dakota Tour event, played the Iowa Swing again, and just a couple form events, and then Nebraska.
So the Wells Fargo Nebraska Open, played at Elks Country Club in Columbus, Nebraska. Matt, what's that course like? Would you compare it to anything that we may see back here in Iowa, or what's going on over there?
I would say it's a little bit longer version than what I play on every day at the Ottumwa Country Club. It's very tree lined. You keep in the fairway. It's basically a wedge fest. If you miss it by a little bit, you're in trees, miss it by a lot, you might have a shot. So it kind of sets up good for me. And I had some success in 2019, and I was actually the 36 hole leader in 2019, then didn't quite get it done. So I had a little chip on my shoulder this year to kind of prove to myself that I can get it done.
You bet. So you get off to the hot start the first day, 61 with a bogey. Obviously you had success there before, so coming into the tournament were expectations pretty high?
Yeah, I mean, about the last month or so I started playing a little bit better, because I had some back problems in college and ended up having back surgery in 2020. So that kind of derailed me for a little bit, but okay. I started getting my swing back and started playing some good golf past month or so. And then actually it kind of stemmed from the pro-am. I played that and I started with three straight bogeys, ended up shooting 5-under, and I kind of took the momentum into the first round and just never really looked back.
Well, as we both know, it's always hard to follow up a really low round with another one in second round 64. So you kept the pedal down, didn't you?
Yeah, that was good. I didn't sleep a whole lot that night because I know it's really hard to back up a good round like that. But no, I made a couple clutch putts early on that just kind of kept the round going, like some good par saves. Made actually about a 25 footer on four for par that I kind of hit a bad iron shot on par three and short-sided myself. So that was kind of big to jumpstart me, and then eagled six and got things going.
Well, that sixth hole was awful good to you. Two eagles and and a birdie in your final yep. Round. So sixth hole, we got a lot of good memories over there, I bet.
Yeah, for sure. Two eagle putts. One was 3 feet. One was, I think, 8 feet. So It's a gettable par five. I was lucky enough. I drove the ball really well all week and just kind of kept it in play and gave myself a lot of chances. I mean, I didn't add up how many greens I hit, but I didn't miss too many. And when I did miss, I missed on the proper side that left me plenty of room to get up and down.
Well, a final round 70 gave you a 3-shot win over Brandon Crick. Matt, you win this one. Does that kind of change your schedule going into winter at all? Or what's your future looking like, say, the next 6-8 months?
Yeah, so I have first stage of Corn Ferry coming up, the 28th in Nebraska, basically where I was in Lincoln. And then we'll kind of go from there. Hopefully just keep advancing through that and get status. If not, we'll go back to Arizona again for the winter and work on the game and then go for Canadian status next year.
Since you've turned professional, Matt, give me an idea of kind of what maybe a day looks like for you, and then maybe a week as far as practice, depending on if you have a tournament or what's coming up.
Yeah. So, just basically get up in the morning. I've been kind of walking my dog early in the morning and, just kind of lounging, going the course around lunchtime, and then, just kind of getting after it. I play a lot more than I practice, which is okay. You kind of figure out what works for you. I think there's time and place for practice. And it's like, if I'm off, I'll go to the range and put in an hour or so, but it's like you get more shots on the golf course that you can't replicate on the range. And sure. I just use that as an opportunity to try new things or things that I have been working on in the past and try to get some confidence for when I do play a competitive round. And then, but I play with some good guys back here. I mean, I know, a lot of them on the Iowa tour, and yeah, so they push me, when we play, and it's fun.
I know you've played a lot of competitive golf, since you were a junior up the ranks and then in college, but man, I'm just curious what you've kind of seen as the biggest difference, or things that you've noticed since you've turned professional that are different or that are, maybe done a little, in a different way.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because I think amateur golf and professional golf to an extent are very similar. College golf's kind of a little bit of an outlier in my opinion.
Okay.
The courses are set up way harder in college than I have seen on professional golf.
Okay.
Plus you have to make a lot of birdies. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's like the pars in college that were good enough when you're playing 7,600 yards and pins are 4 and 5 off the edges. Those are good scores. Versus now it's like you're playing, you could be the same yardage, but I mean, these guys are making birdies and it's nuts. And I was telling my mom not too long ago when I got back from the form event in Indiana, I mean, I'm playing Purdue's course and it's 7,400 yards long. And I shoot even par for 2 days, missed cut by two, top 65 in ties.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that wouldn't happen in amateur golf. Most likely, and it right. definitely wouldn't. It'd be right in contention in college. And so it's just a different level of play, and it's again, like I tell my friends that don't quite understand golf, I'm like, there's 156 of me's out there, and it's you got to play really well, make a lot of birdies.
Well, and the thing I always notice and tell people is like, you at any of these levels, I mean, if you shoot 1 to 2 under, you're probably getting lapped that day, aren't you?
Oh yeah. And it really depends. Like I was talking about on the courses. I mean, you play some of these like state open courses when it's not as long as like we did in college or like you would see on the PGA tour. Yeah. I mean, you're shooting 1-2 under, you're lucky to get your entry fee back. I mean, it's, you got to go low. You got to understand how to go low. And I think that actually kind of growing up in Ottumwa on a little bit easier courses than I see a lot of times has helped me because I'm used to shooting 4 to 8 under per day, pretty much.
Sure. You're not afraid to go low, yeah. Are you? Yeah.
No, exactly. I'm not. Yeah. I've been doing it for a while. So it's like, I'm not playing the par like some people. It's like, I can just keep going.
Now, when you're traveling to, tournaments or to Q school, do you have some people you try to kind of travel with, or you kind of doing your own thing, or what's that look like for you?
It just kind of depends, kind of see who's in the field that week. Sure. I've made quite a few friends out on tour. I'm staying with a guy from Iowa actually for the first stage. in Lincoln. So yeah, I just kind of split things up when we can. If not, then I'm very comfortable just going by myself.
So you said you have, is it first stage of Corn Ferry in Nebraska? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what, how many get through that and kind of what's that look like, or can you kind of talk about kind of that process?
Yeah. I think there's probably like 80 state to 120 people in there.
Okay.
From the ones that have already happened, it looked like there are about 21 in ties getting through. So then you advance to second stage, and then I would say probably 15 or so get through that. And then if you get to finals and you play decently well, you'll have Corn Ferry status. I actually think you get status if you even get to finals, but then you're kind of playing for your position. Sure. Based on, like, if you win it, you're obviously going to get in more tournaments than a guy that finishes 40th.
How far do you feel like you need to get, you know, through the qualifiers, you know, to kind of feel comfortable of where you can maybe get into some stuff and start kind of, I don't know, making a schedule a little bit, or at least kind of get an idea of where things are going?
Definitely finals.
Okay.
If I get to finals, I think I got a decent chance to play well. I mean, I've, like I said, the past month or so, my game's really coming form, probably playing some of the best golf I ever have. And it's just, I'm trying to simplify the game again, kind of like back to when I was a kid, you know, just hit it in the fairway, hit it on the green, and just make some putts. And I took that philosophy into Nebraska and it worked well. So I'm just going to keep rolling with it.
What would you say your strengths of your game are, Matt? I mean, is it more of just kind of that mindset of, you know, not afraid to, you know, make six or eight birdies?
Yeah. I've always thought I was above average iron player. I've always been decent off the tee, but it's like my irons have always kept me out of trouble, and I've been able to put it in the right position on the greens and give myself looks. But it's the biggest thing for me is not to press. I get going in my head a little too fast. It's like, if I have a par five or par four that I feel like I should birdie and I don't, it's once in a while I get flustered. And I think with age, I've kind of gotten out of it a little bit, but it still is there and I'm aware of it. So I need to keep working on it.
It's always a work in progress, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, Matt, before we let you go, when you're not on the golf course, what do you like to do? What's kind of your escape maybe when you kind of need to get away from it for a little while?
I really just like hanging out with friends, watching football lately. Iowa's been doing good, and just hanging out and relaxing. It's crazy. It's like I had a spurt this summer. It's like I'm on the road for 4 out of 5, 6 weeks, and it's just nice to get home and be able to relax a little bit and hang out with the guys and just catch up.
You bet. Well, I appreciate your time coming on the podcast, Matt. Good luck down the road, and we'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks again to Matt Walker for coming on the podcast. A few house cleaning items I want to bring you up to speed on. Iowa Cup played last week. Iowa Section PGA takes home the trophy. Got off to a hot start the first day. Team IGA tried to battle back in singles, but it just wasn't enough. Section Pros 24, Team IGA 16. So congrats to the Section Pros to win in the Iowa Cup. There's a recap on our website, iowagolf.org, if you want to go on there and read about the two-day event. It was held at Elmwood Country Club. A good battle between both sides. A lot of fun was had, a lot of laughs, and we'll look forward to trying to get that cup back next year. United States Mid-Amateur Championship out in Massachusetts, out in Nantucket. Iowa well-represented, kind of a common theme at some of the USGA events this year. I had 5 guys out there: JD Anderson, Gene Elliott, Kobe Thompson, Mike McCoy, and Nate McCoy. Nate, rounds of 70-71 in the stroke play qualifier, was the lone Iowa to earn a spot into match play. He was the 51 seed. Unfortunately, ran into Hunter Hawkins of Alabama and lost one down in a good match. I talked to Nate just briefly on his way back to Iowa. We'll get him on the podcast here soon to kind of get his feel of what the golf course was like out there and everything. But a little silver lining for Nate, qualifying for the match play at the U.S. Mid-Am gave him enough points to overtake John Brown in the Player of the Year point standing. So congratulations to Nate on a fine year and wrapping up the player of the year for 2021. U.S. Women's Mid-Am out in South Carolina at Berkeley Hall. Leanne Smith, 79-77, good for the 49 seed. Also going to be our player of the year on the women's side. She already had that wrapped up prior to her play at the Women's Mid-Am. But again, lost similar to Nate, ran into a tough match in her first round. Kaylin Crownover lost one down in that match. So a hard-fought match Leanne had, but just did not come out on the right side. And then this past Monday, U.S. Floorball Qualifier for the 2022 championship is going to be held down at the Country Club of Birmingham. Mark Gladson and Nate Dunn with a hot round of 60, minus 12 at Blue Top Ridge Golf Course over there in Riverside. Ethan Meckling and John Brown, 63, good enough to wrap up the second qualifying spot into the championship for next year. So we're winding down, but still got a lot of good golf being played. So take advantage of this fall. Get out there and play. If you haven't touched the clubs in a few weeks, get out there and get a few more rounds in before the snow flies. So anyway, until next time, we'll talk to you later.